Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold that, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's sounding and they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's sounding and they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, scream shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you freed from danger. Hurt, fear, depression and anger, confusing rage and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting but what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah the pain came and the rain fell down. But I maintained through the skirmish, cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll
Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. And as always, I'll remind you all to grab your study tools, your iPads, notepads, your pens, your pencils, your Bible dictionaries, all those things that you would need for a good study. As always, I'll ask if you can hear me clearly, send me a thumbs up, you know, or clear, let me know that you can hear me. Like always, I'm going to, you know, start off with a brief prayer, thanking the Most High for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King, for all you've done for us up until this point, the blessings and the lessons that you've bestowed upon us to bring us closer to you and thy Son and thy Word. We thank you for the health and strength that you've given us. We thank you for the healing that you've given us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for hearing our prayers as we pray for our friends and loved ones course of the week and ask them for you to assist them as well as assisting us. But as we ask for assistance for others, we're showing a level of selflessness when we're concerned about the well-being of our fellow man, that we have no time to worry about ourselves because we know we're being taken care of. So, Father, we thank you once again for bringing us to the Sabbath day and giving us that life and introducing us to that light, which is thy Son, Yahushua. And we thank you, Yahushua, for laying your life down for us and being our Redeemer and our Savior. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as his heritage. A remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation. And we're going to, you know, continue in our journey through the book of Joshua, Yahushua. But, you know, just like I said last week, we always ask, how was your week, you know? Hopefully your week was good, you know, because my week was, you know, I'm going to say it was good, but yet it was a little rocky. And, you know, over the years and my journey with the Most High, I realized that, you know, it's those rocky times that add character to our being, which gives us another opportunity or give us another lesson that we can help someone else. Because if everything is always going good and great and fine and no bumps in the road, then what are we learning? We're not really learning anything because we don't really have an opportunity to apply what we're learning from his word, what we're learning from his examples. So sometimes we got to grab hold to these rough times and look at those, reflect on them, and see what were you supposed to learn or what were you, you know, what were you supposed to share in that moment so that if that moment comes again, you know what to do. Because it's those rough times that teaches you what to do. And it also helps you to do that preventive thing, you know, to prevent someone from going down a bad road or making a bad decision, you know, and then also helps us from making the same bad decision, you know, because sometimes things are wrapped in a different, you know, wrapped in different paper and put a different ribbon on it, and we think that it's something different, and it's the same old foolishness. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful of that. And as we say, as we've been talking, Passover is coming. You know, this is the time to reflect on yourself, you know, because we're coming out of those winter months. You know, and the winter months is the time when a lot of time we as individuals, we get lazy. But, you know, and then we try to get back in shape and get back on the grind when the springtime is about to get here. But it's too late now. It's too late to try to cram it all in a couple of weeks when you're supposed to be constantly, constantly cleansing yourself, judging yourself. You know, as the scriptures say, judge yourself now so that you won't be judged later. You know, so just, and I'm just, you know, just touching on some things, you know, basically, you know, like I said, my week was good, you know, but I had a number of bumps in the road. And, you know, my week was so rocky that, I wanted to sleep all day, even to this moment. Right now, I want to go to sleep, you know. But, you know, I have a work to do for the Most High, and I'm here doing it. You know, I was going to try to find some excuse to not do it, but, you know, I don't make an excuse for the man, so why should I be making an excuse for the Father in heaven who allowed me to go work for the man? So in light of that, I'm going to start off with, you know, few scriptures, you know, that lead up into the portion of Joshua that we're going through. And as we have to remember, you know, we're just coming out of the art of war now. We're going into Yahushua, going into the promised land and having to go to war with those seven nations to clean it out so that Israel can occupy it. But as we go through it, we're going to see that they're going to, you know, we've already read through one bump in the road, you know, with them. So, you know, or we're going to come up to it. Maybe we're going to come up to it. But, you know, when we come to it, I'll bring it to your attention. That's the road I was talking about. But with all ado, I'm going to start off with this one because, you know, this little statement that came to my mind in regards to the section that we're going to be reading. And, you know, we read in the scriptures how the Father said, I'm always going to be before you. I'm going before you. I'm going to be, I'm going to help you, outstretched arm. You know, we've heard those terms before. And, brother made a comment, you know, I think it was this past Sabbath. He used the term outstretched arm. And he was showing, alluding to how Yahushua, he reaches out to us and he grabs us individually, you know, and pulls us along. Not really pull us along. I'm going to say he guides us along, you know, because if we don't want to come, we can resist. And he's not going to force himself on us, you know. He gives us the choice. And so in light of that conversation, you know, this is what came to my mind. As the spirit of the Yod stretches out to Israel and the nations to guide them in the wilderness and through the waters. So we've talked about coming through the waters. You know, we talked about Moses going through the waters and going through the wilderness. We've also talked about Yahushua, son of Nun, you know, taking them through the waters. And now he's about to take them through the promised land. And we also know that as he goes through the promised land, he's going to be fighting. So, and that's the same thing with us. You know, we understand that each letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a character. And so that Yod is that arm. And it's that arm of Yahweh Elohim, or that arm of the word that is assisting us. That arm that's lifting us up and holding us and hold and guiding us and leading us. You know, I can recall, you know, when I was in the military, we used to use hand signals, you know, hand and arm signals to lead and guide everybody. You know, when it was time to be quiet. So we used hand and arm signals. Same thing with the Father in heaven. He's using that Yod to lead and guide us. You know, those signals, you know, those signs, you know, he has those signals and signs in the heavens that we're supposed to be following, and it leads us and guides us. You know, we have different examples where those guides in the heavens led the Magi to the Messiah. You know, we have signs where, you know, one had one of those signs in the heavens that guided this gentleman, or was a sign to let him know that, you know, the Father was allowing him to live a little longer, you know. So we have to pay attention to those signs that's leading and guiding us. And that's that outstretched arm that is constantly in front of us, that's constantly assisting us. But are we reaching back? Are we reaching back and holding that arm that's leading and guiding us? So that's my little, you know, little philosophy for the moment. But, you know, but it's not really philosophy. It's just things that the word has already said, you know. But it was just a thought on my mind that came to me from reading the scriptures. So we're going to go to Genesis 17. And as we go through these scriptures, just keep them in mind, because they're going to touch various areas throughout the course of Joshua that we're going to go through. I realize that if I try to read the scriptures and then go back to the point, I get jumbled up. My mind gets scrambled and I lose chain of thought. So I'd rather read them to you first. Then if it comes back to mind, I reiterate it when I get to that point in the scriptures. So we're going to start off first in Genesis chapter 17, verse 10 to 14. And this is dealing with circumcision. And it reads, "Here's my covenant that you are to observe between me and you and your descendants. Every male among you is to be circumcised. You are all to be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And this is to be the sign of the covenant between me and you." And this is Abraham and Yahweh talking. "And the generation after generation, every male among you is to be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth, including the servants born in your house or the one purchased from a foreigner who is not of your offspring. The servant born in your house or the ones purchased with money is to be circumcised. My covenant is to be remain in your flesh as an eternal covenant. Any uncircumcised male who does not have the foreskin of his flesh circumcised on the eighth day after his birth is to be eliminated from his people because he has broken my covenant." So just stop here for a minute, you know, because many people talk about the circumcision. You know, and many people tend to want to focus on the circumcision. You know, we have some groups that want to focus on the circumcision in the flesh. But when we pay attention to this particular thing, it's talking about on the eighth day. As we know, when Abraham was circumcised, he was old. But this was a one-time occurrence. You know, it's a one-time occurrence for him. That, you know, the circumcision had to be done, because ultimately we're going to come up to another, another time where this happens. But, you know, he's saying that, you know, everybody at this particular time, they're going to be circumcised. And then that's where we get into where it says the eighth day. So from that point on, everybody from that, after that point, their children, their male children at the eighth day is supposed to be, you know, circumcised in the flesh. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 to 24. And it says, "Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to your word, but in very deed, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with glory of Yahweh. Because all those men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I worked in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Neither shall any of those who despise me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land into which he went, and his seed shall possess it. As we know, we're in the book of Josh, Yahushua, son of Nun, and Caleb is one of the individuals that went over into this promised land. And this is what the father's, saying right here, is because Israel and the nations were so wicked, and they grumbled and moaned and groaned, and they seen the wonders of Yahweh when they was down in Egypt. But yet, when they was in the wilderness, they continued to moan and groan and tempt him throughout his time with them in the wilderness. And ultimately, he said, you're not going to the promised land. You're not going there. You don't believe in me. You don't trust in me. You complain about me, and I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do for you. But yet you can constantly complain it. Because ultimately, when you read the story and what, sometimes we as individuals want to do, we want to go back to the past because we think the past is better than our present, when in essence our present is leading us to a better future, if we can see that. But sometimes people are so caught up in the present that they don't see the faults that they made in the past and don't have any hope for the greatness of the future. And so that's what, we can say that's what happened with these family members. They chose to grumble. They chose not to want to see the goodness. As a result, the father said, I'm not going to show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. And it reads, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So we was talking about circumcision in the flesh earlier, but ultimately the Father wants circumcision of the heart. And that's of your thinking, because when we read in Numbers, that's what it was all about. It was all about their thinking. It was all about how they, their emotion, and they were so caught up in the sinfulness and the way it used to be that they didn't want to change, and they were stiff-necked. And so when we bring it up to date, that's what we have to do. We have to circumcise our minds from the way that we used to live, because the way we used to live is not what the Father wants. The Father wants us to be obedient to him. Brother Ahav was talking about Shema, and everybody tend to think, not saying it doesn't mean listen, but ultimately he was bringing out that it means obey, be obedient, mm-hmm. And so if we're obedient, what are we being obedient to? We're being obedient to the Father, because when we go back to Genesis and we go back to that first man, Adam, what was he supposed to do? He said the Father told him to do something, and he failed to listen to him. He failed to obey what he said. As a result, humanity is in a state of disobedience. That is our state. Our state is disobedience. But he cries out to us constantly, 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 asking us to obey his voice, asking us to listen to what he's saying, sending out his prophets, he sent out his son to show obedience. So as we as believers today in Yahushua, those who proclaim Yahushua as their Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and that his light is shining and building in them, we have to be the same way, obedience. We have to obey his words that he laid down. But ultimately, his words were nothing but the Father's words. So we have to circumcise our thinking, circumcise our mind. There's I didn't put it down, but it's the scriptures talking about us renewing our mind. What are we renewing our mind from? We're renewing it to where it used to be, that perfection of Yahushua. That's what we're renewing it to, because our old mind is garbage. It's filthy. It's sinful. It's wicked. The scriptures constantly tell us how our mind and our thinking and our ways are wicked. We have to come to understand that we have to change our ways and not focus on the token in the flesh, but constantly focus on the foreskin of our mind. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it reads, Yahweh, your mighty one, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. So from here, Moses is reiterating to the people, letting them know that Yahweh will circumcise your heart. See, we're not even circumcising it. We just have to be willing to allow him to circumcise us, circumcise our thinking. And what's going to happen? Our seed is going to also have a circumcised heart and love Yahweh, because it's what we're doing in our obedience is going to show others what we must do or what they must do. Why? Because that spirit of Yod is going to be outstretching his arm and helping you out. Going to help you out. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 24 to 28. And it reads, I'm going to remove from the nations, gather you from all of the territories, and bring you back into your own land. I'll sprinkle pure water on you all, and you all will be cleansed from your impurity and from all your idols. I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you a new spirit within all your deepest parts. I'll remove that rocky, hard heart of yours and replace it with one that's sensitive to me. I'll place my spirit within you, empower you to live according to my regulation and to keep my just decrees. You'll live in the land that I gave to your ancestors. You'll be my people, and I will be your mighty one. See, here's another scripture. See, we think that we're circumcising our heart. We think that we're renewing our mind by constantly reading the scriptures and reading this and studying. But we have to realize that it is not our hand that is doing these things. It is the hand of the Most High that is doing these things. When he chooses you and he molds you and cares for you and guides you. Why? Because he wants you to be in him. So he wants us to drop all those things that are causing us to be separated from him. And what is that? Our selfish desires for ourselves. That sinful nature that we have inherited. And once we understand and realize that we have inherited a negative, sinful nature, then that's the beginning. Because the scriptures tells us to search him out. And if we're searching him out, we'll realize that he's not far away. we realize that he's not far away. And because he's not far away, that means that help is right there. It's right there for us. We just got to want it. And sometimes we as individuals, we just don't want help. We just don't want help. And sometimes it's not that we don't want help. We're so used to not getting help or not getting the right help. See, because sometimes we be seeking help from other people and not seeking the help of the Father. Because if we seek the help from the Father, he's going to send the help you need through the vehicle that he uses to assist man, which is other men or other humans. We use that term. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 33. Just another touch on the same subject matter. And it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant." This is like a new agreement. Remember the agreement that he made with Abraham? He's making a new agreement. See, because that first agreement that he made, it was written on, it was written in stone. It was the key factors was the flesh. And because the key factor, as we know, the flesh is weak. The strength of man is weak when it's compared to the elements of the world. I'm going to start over. Verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehudah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, saith Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people." That's another thing saying where the Father's telling you, look, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do all the work. I'm not going to leave it upon you to do the work. I'm going to do the work. I just need you to be a willing vessel. Just be a willing vessel. And if we paid attention to, as we read in the stories, when Israel was listening and being obeyed and obeying and following what was told to them, everything was wonderful. It was when they decided to go astray, make up their own rules, cleave to the ways of the nations that were outside of them. Things started going haywire because they began to forget. But we shouldn't have to constantly have to have, as we say, a supervisor micromanaging us for us to do right. It's about us doing right when nobody's around. But ultimately, the Father is always around. Yahushua is always around. Help is always there. So we can call for help at any time if we need it. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23. I think I just mentioned this one. It says, "Am I a mighty one?" He said, "Am I a mighty one at hand, saith Yahweh, and not a mighty one afar off?" He's letting you know, hey, I'm right here. I'm close at hand. I'm right here at your disposal. I'm not up in the clouds. I'm not far away. I'm right here for you. But we just have to want it. From here, we're going to go to Acts chapter 17, verse 27. And it reads, "That they should seek Yah, if perhaps they might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far off from each one of us." You hear that? Each one of us. As the scriptures say, he's not a respecter of persons. So each and every human being, he's there for them. So from here, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 to 13. And it reads, "Be careful that you do not let anyone rob you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the elements of the world, and not after Yahushua. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and in him you are made full. Who is the head of all principalities and power? And whom you were also circumcised, a circumcision not made with hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, in the circumcision of Yahushua, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the works of Yah, in the working of Yah, who raised him from the dead. You were dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." From here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. And this one reads, "When 8 days were filled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yahushua, which was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of their purification according to the laws of Moses were fulfilled, they brought him up to Jerusalem and presented him to the Mighty One." I went here because we read in Colossians in regards to his circumcision. You know, ultimately we know that his circumcision, he was already circumcised in the heavens. When he was chosen to come down here and dwell in the flesh. But Father led me to Luke chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, just to show you that in the physical body, he was also circumcised on the eighth day, showing that he was circumcised for us, just like he laid his life down for us. That ultimate circumcision that he went through for our purposes. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now the connotation is going to change. And this connotation is changing because it's pointing to, you know, as we were talking last week in regards to some of the things that Moshe went through, that Yahushua, son of Nun, was going to go through. So this is where this is coming from. Just wanted to let you know that the conversation is changing now. And it says, Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and it says, "Do not come any closer, Yahweh said. Remove your sandals from your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy. It's holy ground. Then he said, I am the Mighty One of your ancestors, the Mighty One of Abraham, the Mighty One of Isaac, and the Mighty One of Jacob. At this, Moshe hid his face because he was afraid to look at Yahweh." From here, we're going to go to James chapter 5, verse 16. Conversation is changing again. But we talked about this earlier in regards to, you know, asking for help and confessing. James chapter 5, verse 16 reads, "Therefore, make it your habit to confess your sins to one another and to pray for one another so that you may be healed. the prayer of the righteous, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Why is that? Because the Father hears his prayer. Because the Father knows that he is doing he being obedient. So he hears a righteous man's prayer. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 4. And this is also just reading an example of Moses that Yahushua, son of Nun, is going to do. This one he's already done. I think we read about this in chapter 4, I believe. But as it reads, Yahweh told Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the first ones, and I'll write on the tablets the words which were on the first tablets that you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning on Mount Sinai, where you are to present yourself to me, top of the mountain. No one is to come up with you, nor is anyone to be seen anywhere on the mountain. Also, the sheep and the cattle are not to graze in the front of that mountain. So Moshe carved out two stone tablets like the first ones, got up early in the morning and climbed Mount Sinai, just as Yahweh had commanded him. He took with him the two stone tablets. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy. This is my last scripture. Then we're going to get into Yahushua, son of Nun. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 27. I'm going to read verses 2 to 8. And it reads, on the day you cross over the Jordan River to the land that Yahweh, your mighty one, is about to give you, set up large stones and coat them with plaster. Then inscribe on them all the words of the law when you crossed over into the land that Yahweh, your mighty one, is about to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Yahweh Elohim of your ancestors promised you. When you have crossed the Jordan River, set up these stones about which I command you today on Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster. Then build an altar there to Yahweh, your mighty one, an altar of stones that hasn't been worked with iron tools. Build the altar to Yahweh, your mighty one, with uncut stones. Then offer a burnt offering to him. Offer a burnt offering there and eat and rejoice in the presence of Yahweh, your mighty one. Inscribe on the stone plainly and distinctly all the words of this law. So, I read, like I said, we went over that, and this is Moshe telling Yahushua, son of Nun, what he's supposed to do. So as we know, I think we read it last week in regards to, when they went through the Jordan River, how one man from each tribe grabbed a stone out of the waters, and when the last man stepped on the land, they built this altar, and I believe it said how the altar is still there to this day, and that the children would ask, why is that there? And then they would just, reiterate and talk about why it's there, and the reason why it's there is because the Father opened the Jordan River for them to cross over on dry land, just as he did the Reed Sea for the children of Israel to cross over the Reed Sea on dry land, going from one reality to another reality. And that's the same thing that we have to understand, that what Yahushua did. He's taking us from one reality to another reality. I think one of the scriptures talks about how he's assisting us from going from mortality to immortality. But we have to be cleave to him and cleave to the ways of the Most High. Be obedient so that we can have the opportunity to do that. So now we're going to get into Yahushua, son of Nun. We're going to do the next four chapters. We're going to go from chapter 5 to chapter 8. And bear in mind the scriptures that were read as we go through these next four chapters. And as one hour more ready, as we read through it, as the Spirit moves me, I'll stop. If the Spirit just moves me to continue, then that's what I'm going to do. Yahushua, son of Nun, chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all of the kings of the Canaanites, which were on the sea, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Let's stop here, Father. You know, because we, you know, what are we seeing? We're seeing that these Amorites and these Canaanites, or these people that's on the other side of the Jordan, you know, they're hearing the reputation of Yahweh. And when they found out that the Israelites was coming on that side of, you know, I'm going to use the term on that side of town, their hearts melted. They were afraid, as they say, their spirits left them, because it was like, oh, snap, yo, they coming over here. So they already know, you know, they know what the what is, as we say. They know what the deal is, and they're afraid. Verse 2, at that time Yahweh said to Yahushua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel a second time. And Yahushua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hilt of foreskins, caused by Yahushua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness. By the way, after they had came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out of Egypt were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. So all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yahweh, and to whom Yahweh sweared that he would not shew them the land which Yahweh sweared unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Yahushua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcise them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. That means until they was healed up, because that's a process. And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal until this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening in the palms of Jericho. And they did eat of old corn of the land. On the morrow after Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn, in the self same day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass that when Yahushua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Yahushua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. But as the captain of the host of Yahweh am I. Now come. And Yahushua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my unto thy servant? And the captain of the host said unto Yahushua, loosen thy shoes from off thy feet, off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Yahushua did so. Chapter 6. Now, Jericho was steadily shut up because of the children of Israel. Now went out, and none came in. And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the kings thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days, and the seventh priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of the ram's horn. And 7 days ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when the loud blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend, every man straight before him. And Yahushua, son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of Yahweh. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of Yahweh. And it came to pass when Yahushua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before Yahweh and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of Yahweh followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with the trumpets. And the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Yahushua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any sound with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. For the ark of Yahweh compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the enlarged in the cave. And Yahushua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of Yahweh, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of Yahweh went on continually, and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of Yahweh, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpet. And the second day they encompassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and encompassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they encompassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets Yahushua said it, for Yahweh have given you the city. And the city shall be accused, accused, even it and all that are therein to Yahweh. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from accursing things, lest ye make yourself accursed when ye take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Yahweh. They shall come into the treasury of Yahweh. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Yahushua has said unto them, but Yahushua has said unto the two men that have spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out hence the woman and all that she has, as he swore unto her. And young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only silver, the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of Yahweh. And Yahushua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even until this day, because she hid the messengers which Yahushua sent to spy out Jericho. And Yahushua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before Yahweh that raises up and buildeth his city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gate of it. So Yahweh was with Yahushua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Yahushua's name, as you know, saying that Yahweh is making a name for Yahushua, man. So now, if we pay attention to now or our time, Yahushua's name is being uplifted. Why? Because of what he has done. And what he has done, he has laid his life down for humanity. He's taken on flesh. He came from his holy habitation to dwell amongst man, to be persecuted by man, to be treated illly by man, to die for man, ultimately to save man from himself. Yahushua, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accused and the accursed things from Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zier, of the tribe of Yehuda, took the accursed thing and angered Yahweh. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the children of Israel. And Yahushua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside the Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Yahushua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make note, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. So there went up there hither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gates even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Yahushua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahweh until eventide. Eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their head. I'm going to stop here for a minute. So we're seeing that somebody was disobedient. Because the father told them not to, you know, gave them an order, told them what they could have when they go to Jericho. So evidently something has gone wrong, to, you know, because Israel, this name, has been lifted up. But now the men of Israel are being chased away by a small group. And when it gets back to Yahushua, he's sad. So he rents his clothes. Verse 7. And Yahushua said, alas, O Yahweh, my Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over to Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to Elohim, we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. That sounds familiar, don't it? Sounds like when they was in Egypt. Verse 8. Almighty One, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall Enveron us. Oh, man. And they said, oh, I like that. Thank you. And they shall surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, get up, thee. Wherefore thy liar thou thus upon thy face. Let's stop here for a minute. Yahweh talking to Joshua, saying, get up, man. What are you doing? You leading these people. You're the leader. You know, where's your confidence at? You know, because that's one of the main, that's one of the first things he told Joshua, son of Nun. You know, be strong and be of good character. Right now, he's suffering a little defeat. And the first thing he's trying to do is give in. You know, he's giving up. That's one of the things I think I started the lesson off with, you know. Sometimes we need these rough patches. You know, these rough patches give us character. You know, we don't supposed to give in to these rough patches, these obstacles. We're supposed to trudge through them. You know, use those skills, those special skills that he has given us. And that's that Holy Spirit. That's that word that he's given us. We're supposed to put on that full armor. You know, we're supposed to put on that full character, because it's that character and that armor that allows us to rise above it. Like we read earlier, who is the creator of the principalities but Yahushua? He's the one who created all things. And if we believe in him, then we can rise above all things. But we have to have that faith. that we can rise above all those things with his help. So Yahweh is telling Yahushua, son of Nun, get up. Wherefore, if I lie, thou thus upon thy face. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I command them. For they have even taken of the accursed things, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. So what is he doing? He said, look, man. I mean, he's saying, look, Israel has done wrong. Israel has transgressed the covenant. They failed to obey what was told to them. This is why they got spanked. This is why they got ran out. This is why they was defeated. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies. Why? Because Yahweh wasn't with them no more. That outstretched arm was no longer there. Why? Because they failed to comply with what he asked. Verse 12 again. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. So now he telling Yahushua, look, man, I'm not going to be with you as long as you got these disobedient people here. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thou sayest, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which Yahweh taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the families which Yahweh shall take shall come by household. And the households which Yahweh shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yahweh, and because he has wrongfully folly in Israel. So Yahushua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Yehuda, and he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the families of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebedi was taken. Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Yehuda, was taken. And Yahushua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yahweh Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Yahushua and said, indeed, I have sinned against Yahweh Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, chuckle weight. Then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Yahushua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent and brought them unto Yahushua and unto the children of Israel and laid them out before Yahweh. And Yahushua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Yahushua said, Why hast thou troubled us? Yahweh shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and buried him and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him, a great heap of stones until this day. So Yahweh turned from their fierceness. So Yahweh turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. I'm going to stop here for a minute. As you see, when Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Only person can be against us is our own self and our own selfish desires. Just like what this brother did. He coveted something that he didn't. He coveted somebody else's stuff. As a result, he lost his life. We have to be mindful of that, family. Be mindful of what we coveting. Not getting caught up in other people's thinking, other people's doings. We have to be steadfast in Yahushua. We have to be steadfast in this word. We have to take these examples that we're being given and apply them to our walk with Yahweh. Because as we've learned before and has been said before, there's nothing new under the sun. And everything that's under the sun is here on earth. So these situations are recycled, constantly recycled. Why? Because man is not getting it right. Man is not being obedient. So now we're going to go to the last chapter we're going to do for the night, Joshua chapter 8. And just be mindful what we're continuing, the art of war. The art of war. You know, we have to understand that war that goes on in our minds. And we have to figure out how to master it and overcome it. And we went over a couple of scriptures in regards to that. The way we do that is staying in that word, staying in that spirit of the word. See, because we have many men that stand in the word of Yah, but they don't have the spirit of Yah. They don't even have a relationship with his son. So how can they be in that word? How can they understand that word? But the Father has given us a man that understands his word, because he's leading and guiding them through that spirit of that word. And may we continue to be like the brother said last week. It's not about just hearing. It's about obeying. That's what the Father wants. He wants a circumcision of the heart, circumcision of the mind, circumcision of our thinking. And how we do that is by obeying, having faith in the word that's being told to us, having faith that Yahweh's word is true. Despite what many men say, that this book is antiquated, despite the fact that most people are not trying to keep it. You know what? I'll probably talk about it next week. you know, because when I started, you know, contemplating on doing this art of war and going through Joshua, one of the things that came to my mind was, you know, we're in a state of where there's so many different religions out there. And when you deal with these religions, you just, you know, you have a large number of people that are in falsehood, you know, and because they're in falsehood, they believe, you know, as we, you know, majority rules. We come up in a society where it talks about majority rules. Well, go, you know, I found my little papers. I'm gonna just, since I brought it up, one of the things that, you know, did some little things, little research. There wasn't no real deep research, I'll tell you that much. Because me as an individual, I try to stay in that word. Be trying to stay in that word. Now, I had another chart. Wait a minute. Yeah, but it was dealing with the major religions in this world. Let me see. Wait a minute. Come on. I think I'm going to talk about it next week. But it was talking about the majority of the people in the world are Christians, Buddhists, Islamic, non-denominational. But the percentage of people that, you know, when they talk about Jews, they try to allude to Jews are the people that are keeping Yahweh's word. But no, they not. They not all doing it. They keeping man's religion. Sorry about that. My body temperature changes. Sorry. All right. I'm going to get back to Joshua chapter 8. Well, before I get there, I'm going to just tell you the major world religions that's out there. And then I'm going to get into chapter 8. There's Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Sikhism, and then you got other religions. You know, so anything falls under other religions. And, you know, and so that's what we're dealing with. You know, we're dealing with a large percentage of people that don't serve Yahweh and don't keep his law, statutes, judgments. So we gotta nestle in. We gotta get our minds right. We gotta get our minds right so that we can overcome the foolishness that they may come with, and be grounded in Yahushua, be grounded in this word, Yahweh Elohim, be grounded in Yah, so that we won't be picked out, you know, because we just got finished reading in the last chapter where Yah, he sees everything. And when it's his time that he wants to bring it to light, he can't bring it to light. And what did he do? He took it all the way down to the least common denominator. What tribe? What family? What household, you know, brought down to the least common denominator. So we have to be mindful of that. I'm not saying you're not mindful, you know, because we didn't read a couple of scriptures that talked about how he close at hand. So if you call him on Yahushua and you call him on Yahweh and you call him on Yah, bam, you got the spotlight on yourself. So if you out there living, you know, you ain't doing right, spotlight is on you. You know, you have been seen, you know, you have been found out. Plus, you already know. You already know when you're doing it. You know, but let's get back to chapter 8, Yahushua chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, "And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all thy people to war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and this and his people, and his city, and his land." So I'm going to stop here for a minute. Right now, you know, what is happening? Yahushua, son of Nun, is getting a pep talk from Yahweh. You know, because, you know, Yahushua, son of Nun, his spirits was down because of what he had just experienced. But one of the things, you know, I think I said it earlier, that's one of the things he started off with when Yahushua, son of Nun, came on the scene. He told him to be of good courage and be strong because he was getting ready to start dealing with the foolishness and the stiff-neckedness of Israel. Verse 2, "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoils thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourself. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." So what is he doing? Dealing with that art of war, right? Because he's getting ready to take this city. But now Ai, the city of Ai, or King Ai, he punked. "Yo, we just got finished defeating Israel. We had Israel running." So, you know, they pumped. They overconfident now. You know, Yahweh's pumping Yahushua up, getting him straight and getting his mind straight. You know, because when you're going into certain situations, you got to have your mind on right. You know, you can't be faint at heart. You got to, be strong. You got to be ready. Verse 3, "Yahushua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Yahushua chose out of 30,000 men, of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go, not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. Sorry about that. "And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at first, that we will flee before them." Why is he doing that? Because Israel, the last time they was battling, they ran. So, boom, he's going to use that as a tactic this time. "We're going to run. For they will come out after us. So we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us. As at the first, therefore, we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize unto the city. Yahweh, Elohim, will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commands of Yahweh, shall ye do. See, I have commanded you." Yahushua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Yahushua lodged that night among the people. And Yahushua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now, there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them the lot in the ambush between Bethel and Ai, and on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts on the north of the city, and their liars in wait on the west of the city, Elishua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But it went not that there were liars and ambushed against him behind the city. So they were so confident that they didn't even pay attention to what was going on around their surroundings. They just got up and just charged after Yahushua and the people that was in front of them. Verse 15, and Yahushua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Yahushua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went out after Israel. Let me read that again. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. So stop me here for a minute. In these two plains, in these two cities on this plain, they were so confident in themselves that they left their city unguarded. God, wow. I should have kept reading. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And Yahweh said unto Yahushua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thy hand. And Yahushua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their places. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hastened and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up into heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back into the pursuers. And when Yahushua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel. So on this side and some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Yahushua. And it came to pass when Israel had made the end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and in the field in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned into Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Yahushua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out his spear until he utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for prey unto themselves, according to the word of Yahweh, which he had commanded Yahushua. And Yahushua burnt Ai and made it into a heap forever, even as a desolate until this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Yahushua commanded that they should take the carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance. At the entering of the gate of the city, and raised thereon a great heap of stones that remain up until this day. And Yahushua built an altar unto Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man have lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offering unto Yahweh and sacrificed peace offering. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of Yahweh, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law and blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Yahushua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Let me read that. Wait a minute. I'll go with this word. Okay. There were among them. So this word conversant means that walk with them. So I'm going to stop here. This is the end of chapter 8. So this is just another example of, you know, when we read in this one, it's talking about how they were at war. And because of something that happened in the previous, they used it to their advantage because their enemy had a little more confidence, had more confidence in themselves because of the renown of Yahweh. But then their people, they defeated them. So as a result, they was overconfident. And in their overconfidence, they end up losing their life. But it goes back to why were they even in that situation? It was in that situation because someone's greed, someone's covetousness caused them or caused the hand of Yahweh to be removed from them. Caused Yahweh to turn his back on them. Caused Yahweh to be angered with them. Why? Because they were disobedient. They didn't listen. The Father is not telling us to do things just to be telling us these things. He's telling us these things for our edification, for our growth, for our learning, so that we can be amongst Him. Let us pay attention to this history. We might have to get out to have the calling them stories. This is history. This is stuff that happened. So hopefully everybody, you know, the Father open your eyes and open your perception to something else in Yahushua, Son of Nun, as they go through these different cities, these different territories in the land of Canaan. But one of the things that just, the Father just brought to my mind is being mindful of what Canaan means. Humility, humble. We go through the wilderness. We go through these situations to humble us. And that's what they're doing. They're going through a humbling situation. And in the process, learning more about themselves. So the more we're humble, the stronger we get. And we're getting strong in his ways and his truth because we're getting rid of our sinful nature. So that concludes this session of Can It Be That Simple? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come before thee, Father, I ask for thee to continue to open the hearts and open the realities of those that are listening, those who will listen, and bring us closer to you, O Father, closer to your ways and closer to your truth. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have another opportunity to ponder your word. Father, we ask for thee to continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth. And to continue to allow us to see the light of Yahushua. Continue to see the door, which is Yahushua. May we understand the different symbols that represent thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. May we constantly remind ourselves of your ways and of your truth so that we can be a light that Yahushua uses in this darkened world to bring others to you, O Father. Father, we thank you once again for healing those who need healing, strengthening those who need strengthening, blessing those who need blessings. Ultimately, Father, as you say in your word, you'll be what you'll be to whom you choose to be. To whom you choose. But may we always believe and understand that your love for us is greater than our love for you. But that is our goal, to have that same love that you have for us, for you. Reciprocating that love. And the best way that we can do it is by demonstrating it to our fellow man. But just your word says, we have to first love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our resources. And then do the same for our fellow man, just as Yahushua did. Father, we ask for thee to protect us from dangers seen and unseen, allowing us to stand up for your word in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind. Father, we thank you for allowing us to see it yet another Sabbath day. Yeah, I ask for thee to continue to bless Israel. Continue to bless your servants, your prophets, your mores, your teachers. They're in the whole household of Yahweh. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Now thank you, Father, for allowing me the opportunity to present your word to your people. For your word has brought joy to my spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May you all have a peaceful.
yourself up. Take a deep breath. Dust yourself off. Start all over again. Nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip. And pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So pick yourself up. Take a deep breath. Dust yourself off. Start all over again. Like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Start all over again.
Gadol Yahweh, U Meholal Meod, Vair Eloheinu. Yife Nof Meshoshal Haaret Hatzion Yakelti Safon Kiryat Melekrav Elohim Be'ar Menoteha Noda Le Mishkav.
Greatly to be.